If you have a Bible with you this morning, if you would turn with us over into the book of Judges, I'd like to pick up this morning where I left off last Sunday morning. Found in the book of Judges, I'll read one verse in chapter 6 and verse number 13. Judges 6, verse 13. You don't hear a lot preached on this Bible character, but he was the fifth judge that God appointed to the nation of Israel. Not so much to judge them, for we know that God is the only judge, but one that could rightly divide the word and be a mouthpiece for God. Now in Judges chapter 6, verse 13, he proposed this question. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord. I've said that a few times. If the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all His miracles which our fathers told us of? You may be seated this morning. Father, we thank You for the goodness of God today. We thank You, Lord, for Your presence this morning. How I want to honor You and respect You. And God, I know no other thing but that of preaching today. And God, we need You to do big things for us in our lives, our homes, our families, our country, our churches. Help me today to, Lord, to share with the people of what I have seen in this passage. Help me. I'm a needy preacher today. I pray You'd bless our revival this week. You would do big things in our hearts and lives. For in Jesus' name we pray, and Jesus we need. Amen. And amen. The children of Israel, as we spoke about last Sunday on this Bible question, we've been dealing with questions in the Bible in the last few sermons. And as Gideon proposed this question, if the Lord be with us, then why then has all this befallen us? Or if God loves us and God is really with us, why is all of this happening to us? We've seen where God had told and spoke about those ancient vices. Matter of fact, in Judges 6, the Bible said, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them to the hand of the Midian 7 years. You know, there is no reason why anyone should blame God about what's going on. For we have the Word of God that we can listen to and heed to. But here the nation of Israel had went against God, and God did something in Judges 6 and 1 that many people don't understand, but the Lord delivered them to the hand of Midian 7 years. A lot of times God will allow the enemy to become over us so we realize where our bread is buttered when we get out of bounds. So here the children of Israel were doing evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Midianites encamped them. It was 135,000 Midianites. The Bible said that they looked as grasshoppers coming upon them, and we found the children of God living in caves and tombs. They were scared to death. And can I tell you that our sin will always make us weak and keep us from standing our ground. God wants us to get rid of sin out of our life and stand for the honor and the glory of Him and do that which is right in the eyes of the Lord. So here, Gideon seems to propose this question to God of why are all of these things happening to us? Israel had a sin problem. America has a sin problem. When you can abort a baby now, soon as that baby is consumed in the womb, that baby has life. And now America has went through the process, we're all aware of that, of killing children by millions. And then we wonder, well, God, if You are with us, why is all this happening? We live in a country that many believe in same-sex marriage. They marry a man and a man, a woman and a woman. The Bible says it is an abomination before God. We live many times in a nation that is out of control, and we see things that we've never seen before. And many times we may oppose this question, God, if You're really with us, why are all these things happening to us? We pick up Gideon, where the Bible had taught us where His people were dwelling in caves and tombs. And so, a lot of times, I want to say this, they were destroyed in their consequences instead of dealing with their cause. And America's wanting to deal with many consequences, but we're always going to have consequences until we deal with the cause. See, the cause of the things in my life brings those consequences. You need to quit trying to fix your consequences and deal with the cause. So here, Gideon, I want to speak on three things about Gideon I think is very interested in Judges 6. We see where God came to Gideon and He seeks him out to do a great work. The children of Israel are in heavy bondage. Matter of fact, the Midianites would come upon the children of Israel and they would get all of their harvest. They would get all of their goods. That's just like the devil. Let me tell you, if he can't steal it while it's growing, he loves to get the harvest. But this morning, we find this about Gideon, three things. I want you to look at the work of Gideon's task. Number two, I want us to see the weeding of Gideon's troops. But thirdly, I want to see the wonder of Gideon's triumph. Now, look in chapter 6, verse 11. And let's see what the Lord would have for us this morning. Gideon 6, verse 11, you'll notice there was a divine appearance. There came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Orph that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. We find Gideon very busy doing all that he could do, but we find Gideon being very fearful, for here he was not in the threshing floors. The threshing floors was on a high place. They would take the barley, the wheat, and it would be crushed, and the wind would blow the chaff away, and they would get that which they needed in the kernels and the grains. But here Gideon is behind the wine press. He's busy, but he's very fearful because the enemy has surrounded them. I wonder, do you realize we have an enemy this morning? Do you realize our enemy is not me and you, but the enemy is our flesh and the world and the devil? And honey, we better realize that the battle is raging in our lives, and we must be doing that what we need to be doing. Gideon was threshing wheat in the wine press, and you'll notice to hide it from the Midianites, or they would take it. So there's an appearance. All of a sudden, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in verse 12 and said unto him, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." My goodness, valor. Preacher, what does valor really mean? Well, valor simply has to do with great courage, fearlessness, bravery, and backbone. My goodness, children, if there's ever been a time that God's children needs to have a bravery, a backbone, and a boldness, it is in this day, in this hour. It's not time to hide. We must charge for the glory of God this morning. He said, "Thou mighty man of valor." And he's hiding behind great obstacles from the enemy in his life. But yet God says he's a mighty man of valor. Can I tell you, God knows what's in me and you this morning. I would be very, very careful that I'd never say, "I know what I'll do in that situation." Honey, you don't know what you'd do in that situation till you've been there. God knows what's in all of us this morning. And He said, "Thou mighty man of valor." Now, not only do we see this appearance, but in verse 14, we see an assignment. The Lord looked on him and said, "Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee?" And not only is there an appearance, an assignment, but now he's so much like me and you, there's a great apprehension. "God, I can't do what you're asking me to do." But let's see what he says. And the Bible said in verse 15, it said unto him, "O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." I've noticed in studying the Bible that God uses the things that man would not use. Matter of fact, God chose the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. He did not choose foolish preaching, but the foolishness of preaching. And therefore, God uses the simple. God uses the ones that nobody else would ever thought that He would pursue. Isn't it amazing God pursued you? Isn't it amazing God pursued me? God's not looking for great intellect. God's not looking for somebody that is trained. God's looking for somebody that knows where their bread's buttered this morning. God's looking for somebody that can't do it in themselves and realize there's a God in heaven that can do anything this morning. God's looking for you. He's looking for those that are unqualified. He's looking for those that don't stand the tallest. Matter of fact, when Samuel came to anoint David, he came to the father's house of David and he said, "Don't you have any more?" He said, "Oh, I've got one little old ruddy-looking fella, but I know it ain't him." And when that old prophet seen David, he said, "There's the one." God uses so many times the people and things where we least expect God to be working. And so here this morning, there was a great apprehension. Matter of fact, business was fixing to pick up for Gideon because
I know some boys, if God would have given them a task, he'd say, well, dear God, I don't know why you done asked me to do that a while ago. I'm so qualified, and I've got all my stuff together. Honey, let me tell you, God's looking for somebody that ain't got it all together so he can get it all together this morning. Religion absolutely infuriates me. People that want to look down and say, well, who are they? Look what they've done. So many times when people become failures or they get out and it seems like they're not on the top shelf, people want to humiliate them and squash them down. But can I tell you today, as the authority of this King James Bible, God can do things that nobody else can do. We see here this morning the work of Gideon's task, his appearance, his assignment, his apprehension. Now, verse 36, I want to say something here, his assurance. Gideon was a man that was fearful. And I want to say today, you always remember this, fear. Fear is a reaction, not an action. Fear is a reaction, not an action. So we see this apprehension. Gideon needed something, and God knew that. And I'm going to say some things this morning, and I'm going to try to bring a balanced approach about this fleece. You've heard of putting out fleece. I want to show you here what Gideon does, this work of Gideon's task, his appearance, his assignment, his apprehension. But now God's going to give him some assurance. In verse 36, Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by mine hand as thou hast said, behold, I'll put a fleece of wool in the floor. And if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry on the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand as thou hast said. And it was so, for he rose up early on the morrow and thrust the fleece together, and he wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. Boy, that give him assurance, didn't it? Isn't God good at giving us assurance? I'll show you how much assurance he needed. That wasn't enough. Don't squash my friend Gideon yet. Now, isn't that amazing? He said, Lord, if you really with me, I'm going to put this skin out. And Lord, you let the dew fall just on it and let the ground be dry by. He got up that morning and he wrung water out of the fleece into a bowl. So Gideon is so weak. Let's watch him. Verse 39, and Gideon said unto God, look how respectful he is. Let not thine anger be hot against me. I'll speak but this once, or this last time. Let me prove I prayed thee but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only on the fleece. And upon all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. God knows our weakness. God knows our needs. The Bible teaches us an adulterous and sinful generation seeks after a sign. We have a Bible. We have the Spirit of God that lives in us. God uses others. But I want to bring balance to this approach with Gideon. Gideon needed something extra for assurance. There's nothing wrong with you talking to God to give you assurance. But let me ask you this, you that are wanting to make a move for God, what about the confirmations that He's already given you? What about the fleece that you've already wrung out and it's filled the bowl up, but you still won't obey God? You see, I don't have to have a sign in order to do right. I can read my Bible. I don't need a sign. to tell me to start tithing in the church. The Bible tells us and teaches us to tithe at the local church.
I don't need a sign to not kill a child. The Bible tells me not to kill a child.
So the confirmations that you already have, let me ask you this, what are you doing with what you've already got?
I remember when we first started this ministry, starting a church was the last thing on my mind. Me?
And I can remember many times I'd pray and I'd say, God, I need you to show me something, to give me assurance. And God did.
I remember Brother David Robinson's dad was the last member of a church down Highway 100 before the River Bridge. The church had disbanded. There was a building there. It was in a storefront. So Brother David got us a key to go to that. Me and Brother Mike walked in this church building, and man, it was perfect. God said, no. Me and Brother Mike prayed that day, left. I came back and gave Brother David the key back. I said, Brother David, God's not going to let us go there. If we would have went there, we wouldn't be here this morning. I can remember, and I know this is a God thing. I'm talking about God giving us that in assurance. I went on this street below this church one day, and I was coming out, and I looked to the left at traffic, and God touched me. Was looking for a property. I knew God touched me about up this way. I couldn't figure it out. But I knew God just touched me. God knew I was weak. God knows I'm weak this morning. Matter of fact, I know a lot of boys say they done got it figured out. Honey, I ain't got it figured out. All I tell you, there's a God that'll prove Himself faithful this morning.
Renee's daddy got in that night. He said, hey, Ken, you thought about that property over there by that Legion Hall? I said, heck no. I ain't putting no church in by a beer joint.
What long, Brother David? God showed me where my bread is buttered.
God give us 15 acres sitting right here. Then they turned it into a gay club. And all the preachers, they was a-laughing then. There's some boys shooting ball one night. This happened. Lightning come out of the sky, struck the Legion Hall. They called me and said, preach out. Lightning struck that building. You want us to call the fire department? I said, Lord, no. Call the gas company. It burned into the ground.
God, give us that property. We hauled every brick off. We built a tabernacle up there on that hill for the glory of God.
I'm telling you, all through the ministry of my life, when I didn't know what to do, I'd pray and study my Bible, and God would prove to me what I needed in my life.
Many of you, you're trying to get God to wet your fleece, but look at the confirmations you've already had. And God knows, because God's such a good God. God's such a patient God. He's so long-suffering. But here, not only do we see the work of Gideon's task, but now this is going to surprise you. Here's the weeding of Gideon's troops. There's 135,000 Midianites. That's a big number. That's a whole lot of cornbread on Friday night. So the Bible picks up now, chapter 7, verse 1. Gideon, he gets his assurance, and
His daddy changed his name, Jerubal, who is Gideon. And all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod. So the host of the Midianites were on the north side by the hill of More in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, watch what he says. The people that are with thee, there are too many for me to give the Midianites in their hands. He said, they're not too many for you, they're too many for me. He said, it's too many of y'all. Lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, watch, real important, you get this, mine own hand has saved me. God wants the glory out of what He does in your life. Do you hear me this morning? God wants the glory out of your life and my life. Now watch what He does. Therefore go and proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And watch their return to the people, 22,000, and there remain 10. Now I'm not a Bible math scholar, but I know this. He started with how many? 32,000. All of a sudden, the Bible says, they returned to the people 22,000. They walked off and left him because they was fearful. Now watch. And there remained 10,000. 135,000. I had 32,000. And now, God, you done whittled me down to 10,000? How? God's not done yet. Look what He does. And the Lord said in verse 4, the people are yet too many. Bring them down to the water, and I'll try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. Now look what He does in verse 5. He's whittling them down. He's got 10,000 men going down to the water with Him. Verse 5, so He brought down the people under the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink, and the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. 9,700 of them just got whittled down. You know what God told him? I'm going to tell you what you do. You take them 10,000 pounds, them 10,000 men down to the river. See, here we see water testings. There's many tests in waters, troubled waters. Waters will let you find out who you are and what you have. God told him, He said, the men that lay down on all fours and simply drink out of the water, said, you don't need them. And it was 9,700 that did this. There was 300 that did this. ...9,700 of them leave. You say, preacher, why did God do that? Well, I believe God chose those that was interested in doing something for God instead of for themselves. They were drinking and watching. They were drinking and watching. So many times, God does not use us the way He could use us because we have our head down and we're not passing, but we're laying in the blessings of God. Could you imagine Gideon? Could I imagine you and your circumstance? You had all of this.
And now God has brought you here. Can I tell you, I've experienced the whittling of God in my life. As long as I had all of this, I'll be honest with you, I just didn't need God as bad as I need Him this morning when it gets to here. And I found out that God loves to work when He gets all the honor and glory out of it. Some of you are sitting in positions and jobs this morning. You know yourself you're over your head. Some of you are in tight places and God has whittled you down. Now you're fixing to see if you will apply yourself how big your God is. And I want to close this sermon and I want to show you this little nugget right here that happens. Not only the work of Gideon's task, the weeding of Gideon's troops. He's went from 32,000 to 300. Looks like he's outnumbered. You know, I wonder what the devil spoke to him. I wonder what the devil's telling you. You don't have enough. You can't make it happen. You cannot defeat this enemy that's got you held up in a cave. You look around. But look what he does now, the wonder of Gideon's triumph. Verse 9, he had a dream revealed. God's used dreams through the Bible. Thank God all dreams don't come true. Shake your head up and down. I'm not going to preach about 5 more minutes. I mean, I dream some stuff. I wake up, thank God I woke up. But this is what God told. And I'm going to tell you something in this. It's found in verse number 9 of chapter number 7. The Lord said to Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped, will I save you and deliver the Midianites. So the people took victuals in their hands. And it came to pass, verse 9, the same night, the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down to the host. Look, verse 10, look how gracious God is. But if thou fear to go down, go with Phurah, thy servant, down to the host. And thou shalt hear what they say, and afterwards shall thine hands be strengthened to go down to the host. Then went he down with Phurah, he was fearful. He was still doubting God. His servant and the outside armed men that were in the host, and the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for a multitude. And their camels were without number as the sand by the seaside for the multitude. And when Gideon was come, listen, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow. They was eavesdropping. They was listening. God said, go down the camp. I'm going to give you more assurance. And if you're scared, take fear with you. So he took him. So they went down there in the darkness of the night and listen what they hear. Gideon was come. Behold, verse 13, there was a man that told a dream to his fellow and said, I dreamed a dream. And a cake of barley bread tumbled in the host of Midian and came into the tent and smote it that it fell and overturned it, and the tent lay long. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, for into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. Could you imagine the assurance that Gideon just received? I'm glad there's a God who can give us assurance. Do you need assurance this morning? Do you need assurance that God would save you if you'd come? The Bible will give you assurance. He said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So the wonder of Gideon's triumph, his dream, verse 16, look at his decision. And he divided the 300 men into three companies. This amazing thing, what they're fixing to do. Only God could come up with this. He put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, look on me. And let me tell you, leadership of our church, people are watching what we're doing. I wish they weren't, but they do. And it's just the way it is. And he said unto them, look on me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. You know, I've noticed this, and if I was preaching a revival, I'd really tarry right here. But since we're not having church tonight, I can keep you a little bit this morning. The church always carries on the flavor of the pastor. The places I preach, the pastor don't worship, the church don't worship. The places I preach, they don't believe in missions and giving. The preacher don't believe in missions and giving most of the time. Unless there's a board got them strangled to death. That's all a board's good for. God never had a board. Now, that rabbit got up. I run him a little bit. I'm a rabbit hunter. I like rabbit. Let me get back focused. I'm going to quit preaching. The wonder of Gideon's triumph. His dream, his decision. He said, I want y'all to stand in your place and do what I do. Verse 17, look at his direction. This is amazing what he does. And he said to them, look on me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall you do. When I blow with a trumpet and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came to the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle of the watch. And they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers, held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon, Brother Daniel, you be coming. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the hosts, and the hosts fled to Bethshitta. Now what happened, preacher? The wonder of Gideon's triumph. Not only his dream, not only his decision and his direction, but here lastly, look at the development. First of all, it required boldness. It required boldness. God's people need to have a holy boldness. Not a meanness, a boldness. The Bible said, and every man stood in their place. Let me tell you, you're very important at Liberty Baptist Church this morning. You're very important in the family of God, just simply being in your place. They had boldness. Secondly, they had brokenness. You know what they done? These were water pictures. They were clay vessels. Can I tell you, these are just vessels of clay that we live in this morning. So they all got a water pitcher, a clay vessel, and they took that and they put it there in their left hand, and they lit a candle and they put it in there and they started up the hill. 100 there, 100 there, 100 there. And they had a trumpet in their right hand. When Gideon blew his trumpet, they started. The enemy was down below them. They broke them pictures. And not only did they have boldness and brokenness, but they had a great brightness. The enemy seen that light. Now I want to say something today. You say, Brother Ken, you don't understand. I don't. And I won't tell you I know where you are this morning. All I can tell you is where I am in my life. But I've noticed this. God uses broken things. And a lot of people, when things get broke, you know, religion wants you to just take and bundle them up and throw them and kick them to the curb. But let me tell you, God uses broken things. They broke them pitchers, and until God breaks our vessel, our light is not going to shine. They sounded that trumpet. You know what God said? He said, sound the trumpet. And let them know that Jesus saves. Let them know that Jesus is soon to come. Blow the trumpet! Break your vessel. God's breaking in on you. Honey, let me tell you, God's wanting to break us all down so a light can come out from inside of us. The light that only the glory of God gives. Could you imagine Gideon when them men stood with him? Not many. But I want to ask you this morning, what's here, 300 better?
I wonder what would happen if all of our vessels was broken and we was sounded the trumpet and we was letting our light shine. I wonder how many battles we'd win this morning. Brother Daniel, you play and sing. I've shared my heart and I've preached out. God knows where you are. Would you come this morning?